Online at with.n.
WMNF 88.5 Tampa. You're about to listen to the Urban Cafe.
First of all, what you are doing is monumental.
What you do is so important here.
I think of you all as giving us a perspective on popular culture.
I appreciate the discussion, and it's a really kind of complicated one.
My comment is towards...
I want to go back to a caller called about he had a bed bug problem.
You know, you're the next generation of MNF.
And everybody can do that.
And your real voices and what you really think and what you're really concerned about.
Yes, my name is Brian. I'm calling from Winter Haven.
Yes, I was wondering if we could talk about...
You're bringing it out, and then you let your listeners call in and text in.
But you are also giving us perspective on how it impacts real people's lives.
And I just like to say that each of your topics is so fascinating.
People don't think it's a big deal, but I think that's a really big thing.
And that's what's so important.
And that's the qualitative difference in what you're doing.
The Urban Cafe welcomes your opinion. Join the conversation. Call now, 813-239-9663.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning into the Urban Cafe. This is your girl, Tina Marie Hollywood. It's Fun Day Sunday. Aren't we excited, guys?
Yepper.
Yeah, see, that was a little more exciting. Yeah. I like that. Let me first go by saying good morning to those that aren't here. Jamal, Nia, is Nia here?
No.
Okay, so Nia's not here again yet. And we have Valtrenda. She's not here today. And who am I missing? Who?
Phil.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and Phil. Okay, so we have a great show for you guys this morning. Thank you guys for tuning in. And I'm going to give you guys the number just so that you have it already, so that throughout the show, if you need to call or if you need to text, you'll have that handy. So the phone number is 813-239-9663. And feel free to text as well, because, you know, a lot of us, we can read, right, guys? Yeah. Okay.
It's a little help.
813-433-0885. And let's say good morning to Sam Mann.
Good morning, Tina. Good morning, crew. You ready? I'm ready. Let's do it.
Hey, I'm born ready.
It's a little chilly today, guys.
Chilly is an understatement. We got really? Low with the flow, our own poetic justice. Good morning, Low.
Morning.
And we have what? D to the T.
Hey. And we got little Juju.
Yes,
Giovanni's on our camera.
Man.
We got a little 7-year-old camera operator. 9-7.
He'll take seven. Nine. Take nine.
Huh? Nine.
Oh, correct.
Okay, we got a 9-year-old camera operator today running our Facebook Live, so if it looks a little herky-jerky, you know why. All right, so thank you, Juju's in the building.
Yeah, you got this.
But he's doing an excellent job.
He has a personality on it, too. I like that.
Yes, and we like to get him when they're young.
He's
doing a podcast.
He's here to do his podcast after the show's over. He has his own little 9-year-old podcast we're starting. Yeah.
I love it. So before we get into the show, we do have, you know, quite a few... things that we're going to do. We're going to do the raw. Well, do the raw. We're going to do raw.
Explain.
Know, right? Well, that's actually a wheel that our fabulous producer came up with, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah,
it's really cool. So I'm going to give you guys some instructions right now so you have an idea what it is. But our random access wheel is loaded with colors. I'm reading, guys. So is loaded with color-coded topics, and that relates to our audio sound bites. Right,
right,
DT?
Right.
Okay. Each member in the studio will be asked to spin the wheel to select a topic.
Go ahead,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have my glasses on.
Go ahead, Mr. Jamal.
That clip will then be played, and after listening to it, we will have a brief discussion about it.
Right. So you want me to simplify it?
Yes. Okay. Do that, please. And
I'll
put my glasses on.
So the random access wheel is a wheel like a spinning wheel, and it has topics on it. And once somebody here in the crew spins the wheel, it's color-coded with topics. Then that color code will correlate with a sound bite that we have loaded in the system. We will play that sound bite, have a brief discussion after that, and then we will then take calls and emails and text messages.
Mm-hmm.
From people who want to respond to that topic. But the interesting thing is that regardless whether we agree or not with the topic or with the soundbite, we have to present the other side of the argument as well. All right. Right. So if black lives come up, mm-hmm. Sam has to fight for black lives.
All lives matter. That's going to be interesting.
He's
going
to argue all lives matter. He's not going to make it out of here.
But that's not all I'm going to say.
Luckily, that's not all.
Yeah, and let's get a picture of the wheel, because it's so creative and it's so, it just reminds me of Wheel of Fortune, like back in the days.
All right.
Yeah, so.
Before television.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, so that we have to look forward to. And we have Christo Rey, Tampa High School. They're going to be in later on during the show. And they were here a few shows ago. Yeah. I would say sometime, maybe 3 shows ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they sat out in the lobby for a good 9 hours. And but when they came on air, they were only given like 10 minutes to speak. So we're going to have them come back and kind of elaborate more on that aspect
so
of things.
Right, so much more that I want to learn about
yes,
the school.
Yeah, because it's an awesome school. I mean, it's incredible. So, so DT, if you can do me a favor, because you're more familiar with this. Last weekend, mm-hmm. we had a young lady call in and make a statement.
Well, she emailed the station. I guess she was a little... I don't know if she was upset or just trying to provide constructive criticism or just venting. I don't know, you know, it was a pretty nice email of her explaining how she feel about something that happened here on the show. Mm-hmm. And so she sent in an email, and I think Lo may have it, or do I have it to read her email? And then I think Tina wants to kind of respond so that there's no misconception as to what Tina's intent was.
Right. Oh, good. So it's not about me. I was waiting.
No, that's going to be next weekend. Yours, yeah. We got
other shoe to drop.
Yeah, we got about 4 emails for you. So if Lo can read that that young lady's statement for me, I would appreciate that.
Sure, sure thing. So the email reads, "I am a senior citizen and an avid listener to WMNF and have been since WMNF's inception. While I enjoy your show content, I must please make a request of the young woman, Tina.
That be me.
Mm-hmm. To dial back on the insults and barbs directed toward her male colleagues, especially when personal. It subtracts from the integrity of the Urban Cafe. Comedy has its place in laughter. Comedy has its place, and laughter is internal aerobics, but timing is everything."
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, and rightfully so, you know, she has the right to speak and hear, you know, have her voice heard. And that's one thing that I do like about WMNF. I mean, you have that opportunity to have your voice be heard, right. You know, but with every story, there's two sides to that. Mm-hmm. So my reply is the purpose of this statement is to convey to avid listeners, fans, and supporters of WMNF 88.5, The Urban Cafe, my sincere apologies for any misunderstanding of my demeanor or misappropriation of words towards my fellow male and female colleagues. As we know today, we live in a male-dominated society as the infrastructure of power, but what the world does not acknowledge is that the same infrastructure of power is also driven, supported, and helped, maintained by women. Women who are now in a position to be heard and now have a voice with a platform and will no longer just stand by and let men throw barbs, insults, touch them without permission and not receive retaliation or suffer consequences for their actions. As a testament of my appreciation of you as an avid listener, I, along with my colleagues, assure you that the choices of words and demeanor of the satire comedy exchanged during the show is only to cheer you up and bring laughter and social awareness to your Sunday mornings. And I have a Maya Angelou quote that I love, and I say this frequently, but I can be changed by what happens to me, but I refuse to be reduced by it.
Yes.
So that's my reply to that. And again, you know, we appreciate all our listeners and all our supporters. And again, you know, be it pro, you know, if it's a good remark or mm-hmm. a bad remark, we want to hear it, you know, because right. that, yeah, because you have to take that constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. But also know that, you know, there's two sides in the respect of it all.
Right.
My throat's so dry. But anyway, so we're going to go to a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to go into
the sound bites.
Yes, and the LED tips as well.
And the LDE tips, we're going to do that first. Awesome.
Yes.
I'm ready.
So you ready? All right. So let's go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Another one. Hi, WMNF community. On behalf of the Nathan B. Stubblefield Foundation Board of Directors, we want to alert you that the Federal Communications Commission is expected to repeal net neutrality rules on Thursday, December 14th. Net neutrality is the principle of an open internet. Maintaining net neutrality prevents internet providers like Comcast, Verizon, and AT&T from blocking or slowing down what we see and do on the internet. If the FCC eliminates these protections, internet providers will be able to charge extra fees for the fastest internet speeds, eliminating a level playing field online. But it's not too late to save the internet as we know it. Congress has the power to stop the FCC. BattleForTheNet.com makes it easy to contact your lawmakers and demand they stop this. Visit BattleForTheNet.com to take action now.
Welcome back. We will not extend any type of appreciation.
I was listening to an old show and I realized it only sounds whack when you guys are trying to stop us.
No, it sounds whack regardless.
No, I don't
Joe,
think
can
so.
You teach me how to delete that soundbite?
I know we can come in here after hours and like, you know, slickly like bring it on a downslide. So, so we're going to go into our short takes real quick. And because we have quite a few interesting things that have been occurring. Like, my list could have went on and on and on and on. But there were a couple of things and we were limited to what we could bring in.
Right.
Yeah. So, so what do you have for us for your quick takes?
Definitely. I have a couple. One, I wanted to acknowledge and give a shout out, if you will, to the Atlanta. Atlanta has a new mayor-elect, Keisha Lane Bottoms.
Yes.
She is the second black female mayor in the city's history.
So, second.
Yes, second black female. And she was going against a white woman that was senior citizen age, 65-year-old. Mm-hmm. First name is Mary. But if she had won, she would have been the first female, white female in the mayor's history.
Oh, okay.
So that could have made its own history if it had gone that way. But I am very proud of Ms. Bottoms, or Mrs. Bottoms, for definitely, and I hope she does well in that position.
All right. Yeah. Shout out to ATL.
ATL.
Yeah, I heard it was a very close. They had to do a recount.
Yeah, it was like 600 votes or something like that separated the two of them. Yeah,
I think that's astonishing. Like, that is just the coolest thing. And she's not, you know, very old,
she's
let's just say.
Woman, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's so cool. So how do you guys feel about, like,
I'm
you know,
excited.
With women pretty much? I mean, we
I'm excited
over.
That it was two women running for the mayor race.
Exactly, yeah.
Kudos to that. That's really, that needs to happen in more cities. And
yeah, and I was just saying, I would like to see that in Florida. I would like to see
sure.
that.
Yeah. Why not? Run for mayor.
I would definitely.
Well, I think period, but more women in politics is probably what I think is needed. Well, we have 50-50. It's like a 50-50 split. You know, male, female. No, no. I mean, just population.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
then you look at the government, and it's like 20%, 80%. You know, that's just ridiculous.
Well, I think the tides are turning. We might be able to see some of those things happening.
Things are changing. Future, yeah. Things are changing. And it's funny you say that because I was watching this Netflix thing since y'all got me onto it and made me buy it. Queen of the South.
Queen of the South.
Yes. I am like addicted to that show now.
I binge watched that.
Yes. Yeah. And she always talk about, yes, things will be changing, and she's like ruling it, so I love it.
Oh, that's cool. I have to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So what's your other quick take?
The other one I have is actually more local. Actually, it is about the Hillsborough County teachers protest. It's the Hillsborough County teachers and students protesting about pay. So there's some pay negotiations going on, and the school board said that this is the last thing that I read on Bay News 9 as of Friday. It said that the school board has placed it back into the teacher's court. You know, so the ball is in their court now. They have to respond. And these are a few things that I want to take away from the article that I read about this situation. So it says that no further negotiations are scheduled right now. The teachers claim that the one-time bonus that was offered amounts to about $92. I need a sound bite right there.
Oh, we need that one. We don't have that one.
We got that.
Oh, we do?
You just ain't reach for it.
Oh, I can't see it neither.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Lord. All right, so the other remark
is... It's up to you, Joe.
I know, you got to reach over there.
He's not used to them.
And see, the thing about it, that low $92 bonus offering is that the teachers were actually expecting a $4,000 per year raise in January.
Guaranteed.
Right.
It was a promise made.
Mm-hmm. It was a promise made. And to that point, it says the district insists funds are simply not available for the promised raises. And, you know, the question that comes to mind, and I don't know what, you know, the union, it's, if there's a union of teachers or, you know, what if a strike happens? You know, what if a strike happens with these teachers? Who's going to babysit your kids?
Right.
You know, but not just babysit them, but who's going to educate your children while exactly. you're working your 9 to 5 and so forth and things like that. So the school board needs to be very conscious of how this can shift.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm interested about the first part of your statement there. Did you say the teachers and the students?
And the students.
Okay.
Correct.
So what is the story with the students? Why are the students?
The students are.
Because that's interesting.
The students have the back of the teachers.
Oh.
They understand that these
see now
are
that's
underpaid.
A good thing. That's really good because I wasn't sure if I was hearing it correctly or not, but that is pretty good. So where is this again?
Hillsborough County.
Oh, this is
There are a couple other things that I see happen is fallback or fallout. One is that teachers generally put in more than their 40 hours.
I agree.
Right?
Agreed.
So they're staying after, they're helping, they're doing bus line, they're whatever. And a student needs a little bit of extra help after. Mm-hmm. They'll stay the extra 10 minutes. Well, that ain't happening now.
Right?
We're on the clock. We punch in, we punch out, we get out. And I'm saying teachers that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. The other thing is what's looming now is, and I don't know if somebody's going to talk about this, I'm not, but that just grotesque tax bill. So one of the things in there is that teachers used to be able to deduct a portion of what you spent for your job, right? And that was buying extra supplies and stuff like that.
Which they're always doing.
They're always doing. Out of their own pocket.
That's true.
Right? And just allow them to, that's going by the wayside. So that's not happening either.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like I've spoke about this, you know, early on, but they're trying to really customize this where there's only a rich and poor as far as the class.
Wow.
You know, so little by little things are being deteriorated to make it so that is a reality, unfortunately.
That's a good observation.
But that's pretty much what's formulating before we realize it, that's what's going to be, you know, exists at that time. So DT, you have something?
I just noticed that Nia was watching on Facebook, and
but she's not here.
But she's not here, so I'm
that's interesting. Can we, X her out?
Older?
I mean, like, I'm looking through the window, like, oh, she's here. No, she's not, but she's watching. But she didn't tell me she wasn't going to be here, so we needed her today.
Can we take her off? We can't, X marks
No,
we're
going to let her watch. She'll probably super management.
In school suspension.
Exactly. Put her in the corner.
All right. So
but again, feel free to give us a call when, you know, if we say anything that kind of ruffle your feathers or kind of makes you feel kind of pretty. 813-239-9663. And again, feel free. Text. We like it. It's kind of more convenient if you ask her. Because as you know, Nia's not here to answer the phone.
Tell her to like and share the video.
Yes.
She can do that.
Yeah, share the video. Yeah, at least share.
813-433-0885. So, Sam, what do you have for us?
So, I've got two quick ones. One. And I think everybody's heard about this. Trump has reduced the size of two national monuments now by 80%, right? They're both in Utah. So it's the largest national monument reduction in history, right? And it's Bear Claw, and I've forgotten the other one. I can't figure it out. Anyway, so there are two of them there. And first thing struck me is okay, this is again Trump's just absolute sinister hatred for 8 years of a black man in there, and he can't handle it, and he's got to give some red meat to his backers. So he's everything he can figure out that Obama has done, has been a progressive stance, got to do away with it. But one of the other wasn't Bear Club, was Obama, and the other one was done during the Clinton era. So they're both Democrats. So you got that in the mix too. So not only is this public land for everyone, right, that he's reducing. It's also a historic site. It's a spiritual site for the Navajo. They found tons of artifacts. It's a really important archaeological site. So that's all gross in and of itself. And then I thought, you know what? There's got to be a bigger reason for him doing this.
And so I
did a little digging.
Okay. Good. And I like the digging part. Yeah, digging is good. Digging.
And on both, not on both of them, but on one and on the other, you know, they're two separate spots, mm-hmm. right, in Utah. One of them has rich oil and gas reserves that coincidentally are now going to be open to speculation. And the other one has large coal deposits that, again, will be open to speculation. So, again, if you follow the money, mm-hmm. follow the money trail, right. here it opens up to you.
See, go ahead, DT.
You know, what I find so amazing about Donald Trump,
I can only imagine.
Is it his hairstyle?
No, that this one man has found a way to get into a position to totally unravel the strength and the dignity and the power that America once stood on. This one man is in a position to totally undo things that they've spent decades trying to build. And it's kind of scary because if he continues, you know, we really don't know what the end game is. Obviously, he's not really interested in building a better America.
No,
he's
definitely
interested in, right. you know, probably accumulating as much wealth as he can for as many generations as his family can. But the fact that we are in a position in America where one man is at the point where he is totally pulling the strings, that is totally having his country unravel day by day, by week. He is totally and that clip we played, Minister Farrakhan said, if this man your president, mm-hmm. America's going to get what it's looking for a lot sooner than it expects. Yeah. And I keep wanting to add that to our intro because it seems so true.
It's really, go ahead, Sam.
Well, Obama came out, because he's said a few things, you know, but as an ex-president, he's usually held to the protocol. You don't mm-hmm. diss on the current president. Well, he can't hold back anymore. I don't know if
he shouldn't really. This guy's attacking everything that he built. Like, it's almost like Mace and Cameron.
Here we go.
I'll leave that alone. But I'm keep waiting for it. I'm like, at some point, Obama's got to step up.
But he said that this is what I was going to, right? Because generally speaking, he's been kind of, not necessarily silent, but he hadn't been straight to the point. So I think it was either yesterday or the day before, he came out and said, paraphrased, hey, look, folks, we're heading towards 1920s, 1930s Germany. Right? Mm-hmm. We're heading towards that. Mm-hmm. So speak up. You know, just because when the Nazis got in and they had a nice little party and everything seemed to be going according to parliamentary rules and stuff like that, that's not really what was happening. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think he's saying, get awoken. There's something's going on here, folks.
Right. And that's one of the things that I think, you know, also Obama possessed is like, you know, he has that power of leadership still, mm-hmm. you know, when he speaks, people do listen. So it's like with him coming, you know, saying that and coming out and speaking about that is something that he should continuously do because we do listen. He does have that power of leadership.
Right.
And are we truly surprised that one man is doing all these changes, you know, within the world that before our eyes?
I am, because I don't know if it ever had happened here in America before.
Not like
one man had, you know, made so many changes to destroy, to turn back.
But to push back that, he's in the power that he's power of the pen, right? Mm-hmm. He signs all the proclamations and this and that and the laws. And but I don't think he has a policy brain cell in his skull, right? I think there are other people that are calling. If you look at his cabinet, they're all most of them are billionaires, right?
Yes.
Right? And the people that are coming in and writing writing these bills and mm-hmm. laws and stuff before they go to Congress. Well, they're right-wing think tanks, and they're funded by big money. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's signing it, right? Mm-hmm. But
he's being led, he just stacked
his cabinet and stacked these people to pass whatever the heck they want.
And Sam, to that point, I feel that he's the scapegoat, and he's okay with it, you know? And I think history, you know, is gonna look like he did all this maybe on his own, and I disagree. You know, the thing about it is that we all need to realize is that America, a great portion of America, agrees with his ideologies.
That's true.
And even speak, you know, worse or harsher than how he speaks. And the hatred in their hearts is, you know, they're allowed, they're okay with it. Even if there are some poor people, you know, that will be affected by it, but still agrees with his ideologies, they're okay with it. You know, because they want that change to go back to 1920s, 1930s Germany or 1940s here in America, what have you. They want to see that shift. I feel like, as much as we are evolving and we're trying to grow in America and in the world really at large, it's going to be that much more of on the other side of something else or someone else battling us, so that doesn't change and we don't have that growth and that progression. So that's what's going on. You have basically the battle of good and evil.
That's good.
It is, and it's. I mean, I don't want to make this into a long Trump discussion because you guys hear that all throughout the week. But what you're seeing, though, I think, well, to your point, is there's a divide now, right? And it is party before country. Right, so down party lines, and if you look at this guy Roy Moore, that crazy cracker from Alabama.
Oh, I'm glad you said it like that.
Yeah, he can say it. I can't say it.
That was good.
But these people, these Republicans, are going to vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was. You know, he's a sexual predator. He's a pedophile. He's been barred from going to malls. I mean, come on. You know, and even if half of it isn't true, some of this is going to stick.
Yeah.
Why would you even vote for this clown?
Because it doesn't matter. They don't care about what he did. They care about their position and power.
Mm-hmm. And the ultimate goal, because their ultimate goal is to take over, to set history, be in the books or what have you. That's the motive.
To set history back.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
money.
And
I'm just saying it's money.
Yeah.
They're going to pass his, they need him to pass his crazy tax bill. And then once they've got that, right, and they find out, oh my God, we're losing $1.5 trillion. What are we going to do? Oh well, let's cut some of the entitlements. Let's cut Social Security. Let's cut Medicaid. Let's cut Medicare. Let's cut lunches.
Let's just cut.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So what's your second take there?
Oh, it's more Trump.
That's good. Oh, not again.
No, this one's a Floridian thing. So to get away from politics and get on to something I thought was interesting, a technological. It's not really an advance, but it's something that we've finally done in Florida. A private company has now got a high-speed rail on the East Coast from West Palm to Orlando. And that corridor, I guess it's like I-95 and A1A and all that, it has like 6 million people, right, that area.
Oh, wow.
So they're all using their cars. So this is going to take some of that away. And what was remarkable is you can go from West Palm to Miami by car in about 5 hours, 5.5 hours if you're lucky. With the train, the high-speed rail, you'll be able to do it in 45 minutes to an hour.
Yes.
And so, I think this is starting in, January of next year, right?
Okay.
And so if it's successful, then they're going to take the track and they're going to move it to Orlando. Now, the hope is that they'll keep going and connect Tampa, which would be great.
Right?
Because we can use the tourism dollars, too.
Course,
it's not just the other coast.
Yeah.
So I was really encouraged by that.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot, because one of the things is that, I mean, it does cut down the traffic. I mean, you know, driving to Orlando sucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it definitely cuts that out. And it probably would give them a little more activity out there, because I don't think there's a whole lot of people, let's just say from Tampa or West Palm, that go there frequently, you know, because I like Orlando. I would go to Orlando a lot if it was just
you park your car in Tampa at the terminal. Mm-hmm. You get on, boom, you get dropped off at whatever the park is or downtown, or and then you get back on it and get in your car when this is perfect.
Yeah, because it's a
no-brainer.
Yeah, they have this ice bar in Orlando I'm dying to go to. I haven't gone. I'm like dying to go there, but I haven't gone yet because I ain't trying to, you know, worry about parking and traffic.
Or a $70 Uber trip.
Well, yeah, that too.
And I would think that maybe like the car insurance companies would get behind this as an initiative, you know, because you think about it, you know, all these cars on the road, car accidents, you know, you're going to have people paying car insurance anyway because they're traveling locally. But when we're traveling to Orlando, that's not necessarily local
for
Tampanians. So, you know, I would think that they would get behind it because maybe that would be a reduction in having to pay out claims.
But I think about that too. And like, there's too much money for them to be made when we do get in accidents.
Yeah, that's where all the money lies.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm cynical about
true.
That.
Yeah, you're right about that. So do we have anything going on in Facebook, Lolo?
They are still up. I have somebody that's on here, Patrick Anderson. Good morning.
Good morning, Patrick.
Louisiana.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh, Louisiana. Oh, don't you cry for me. I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Welcome back.
Does anybody know how to ham bone?
Oh, I remember it.
All right. So we have Gregory Anderson online.
Good morning, Greg. Hey, Greg.
We also have Nia online. I don't think she shared that video yet. You need to get on it.
Trenda
has joined us and a few others. So thank you all for joining. Be sure to like and share the video and comment.
And let get us ready know. To comment because we're going to have some, we got some issues
great
today.
Sound bites.
Oh, Lordy.
Man, I love it. So, DT, you have some takes for us?
So, I don't have a take. I have a question.
Yes.
Wait a minute. That wasn't in the memo.
Well, okay, this is a quick take.
Well,
this is leading into a future show.
Okay.
I would like someone in here to define for me the word to you, actually each of you, what does hip hop mean? How would you define hip hop to someone who said, you know, Uncle Sam, what is hip hop? Aunt Lo, what is hip hop? Grandma, great 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 grandma Tina, what is hip hop?
Right. I would probably start out by saying that hip hop is lyrics, is rap. But hip hop as a whole, it also includes singing, dancing, laughing, having a great time. And it includes dance, beatboxing back in the day. It's just a culture in itself. It's fashion as well.
So, okay, Sam.
I'd go with it. I have a hard time distinguishing between. So I think hip hop is encompasses all of that. It's got soul. It's got new soul. It's got R&B. It's got rap. But it's more. It's actually more than that, right? Mm-hmm. It's books and attitude.
Mm-hmm. So you go with culture.
Absolutely,
Tina. What's your
thing? I would definitely say culture as well. But I think it's like a mixture of just arts and creativity and being able to like have the spoken word, but have the spoken word with music behind it and so on and so forth. But,
rap.
He's going somewhere.
Okay,
with this, right?
No, Joe got a mic in front of him. Joe, how would you define hip hop?
I kind of agree with Sam.
It's a culture. Okay, so my second part of that question is rap music is part of hip hop?
I don't think so. Tina says you don't think rap is part of hip hop? Mm-mm.
Okay.
Well, that's just me.
Sam, you say yes. Hello?
Yes.
You say yes.
I think it's
Joe? Okay, you say
sure.
Yes. All right, so those who say yes, rap is part of hip hop.
Here you go.
All rap music part of hip hop?
No, see, that's where I differ. Today's rap, no. Back, Run DMC, Biz Mark, all of
NWA.
Those.
NWA.
That's pretty much hip hop.
NWA?
Yeah.
Joe, NWA hip hop? Low NWA hip hop?
No.
Sam, NWA hip hop?
Oh my God. You know, because it's definitely beat driven. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so that's my quick take.
You know what?
No. Turn the table on him.
What is your take? What do you create? I mean, how do you look at it?
We'll look at my perspective in a future show about it. There are three just generations right now consuming hip hop.
Right.
All right. And they all have different perspectives as to what is hip hop and what's not. And I think there's a conversation to be had in the teachable moment when it comes to what is hip hop and what's not. And so I'm going to try to create a show where we can discuss those ideas and try to educate each other on what's hip hop and what's not. So I just want to test the waters and see what you guys
think. Okay, that's good. Yeah. And also where it was created. Like, do you believe that it was created in New York? Like,
the Bronx.
No, because some people do disagree with that.
Well, there is a piece. Yeah. There is a piece that the music kind of came from a different area.
Mm-hmm.
The bass music and the music and the big bass sound systems came from somewhere else, and then the DJ got with that music and played over it and started scratching, and it created what we know as hip hop. So there is some history to where.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I think we both watched that Netflix special, right? Four part or whatever it was. Great documentary. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch
it. What is it?
The History of Hip Hop.
History of Hip Hop.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so what amazed me, it's like, I'm that old that I remember.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I remember Grandmaster Flash and Houdini and all them. But what I didn't remember is that the samples they were taking were from like German industrial electronic music.
Oh, I did not.
Yeah, they were taking them from I can't even remember.
Just pieces of it?
Yeah, well they would take a loop, it had a nice beat to it. And then
Oh, okay. Okay, that's cool. Cool. Okay, so again, you know, any of this conversation you would like to be, you know, amongst, please give us a call, 813-239-9663. We're going to go to a quick break, and we're going to come back and do our LDE tips.
Yes.
And then we have Crystal Ray coming up. So do come back.
When I was you, all I get is wild thoughts.
Human smuggling is more of a business transaction. So if I'm in a different country, I can pay for someone to bring me illegally into a different country. But then once I arrive to my destination, I'm free to go. I'm free to move. Now with human trafficking, once I arrive to my destination, then I'm exploited for someone else's benefit.
Damien St. Patrick Baston stood trial for crimes committed internationally, including the Middle East and Australia. Specifically, he was convicted of using psychological coercion and physical abuse against seven known women.
The way the law is written, both internationally and nationally, you have to be able to prove force, fraud, and coercion is involved. Look at our child labor laws in America. To be able to work at Publix, you have to be, what, 15, 16? But to work in the agricultural industry, you only have to be 12.
Good morning. How are you? All right. So... She's an extra special guest, so she gets an extra song. Applause.
WMNF Tampa.
This is Val Trenda from the Urban Cafe, and on behalf of the Urban Cafe, we'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us every single Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on Facebook Live. For those who join us early, thank you so much for not missing one moment of our fun and excitement. We also want to thank those for sharing, because sharing the page allows others to catch the show at a later time. Thank you for those who comment. All of your comments are appreciated, and you know, we read some of them on the air. We want to thank those for liking the Urban Cafe page, because it tells Facebook how popular we are becoming.
With that $1,000 pledge, you can have the entire Urban Cafe crew at your disposal.
Right. We'll do a live recording. We'll come out. We'll bring the DJ. Yes. We'll bring the food. Well, some of the food. We're not bringing all the food, but we might bring some food. And we're definitely going to bring all of the entertainment.
Take all of us out of the studio and into their world.
Call and donate $1,000 for us to come out and party with you.
Yes, we want to help throw your party. We want to make your party a success. We want to have fun. Plus, party. Tina will walk the runway.
I will tear the runway.
Welcome back.
That is horrible. I don't know how much more I can take.
You know, as long as we've been doing it, no one has ever complained about it but you.
Well, that's all that matters. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'll send you an email. Well, thank you guys for tuning back into us crazy guys. Oh, where's that from? Quick, who knows?
Saturday Night Live, Two Wild and Crazy Guys.
Yes, there you go. Steve you Martin. Get a car, ding, ding, you ding. Get a car. Okay, so we're going to go real quick. We're going to go into our LDE tips.
You share Facebook back to my page so I can share it with my friends. Thanks.
Excuse me. He just interrupted.
Wait a
minute. That was like, we only have a show that's going on
right now. The magic of radio.
You know, here it is live, guys. So low with the flow, you're going to go in with the LDE tips.
Yes. So during the holidays, there is a lot of traveling, whether it's by air, land, or sea. LDE will provide you with some safety tips for each way of travel for the upcoming holiday season. And we're going to, of course, address the air travel. It's a lot of air travel during this time.
Yes.
So first, dress comfortably. The best clothing to wear on an airplane is made of breathable cotton wool blends. Wool is naturally flame resistant, retardant. That is why airline seats around the world are covered by this material blend. Interesting. Try to avoid wearing shorts, but still wear clothes that you can move quickly in just in case you have to evacuate the airplane. Shorts do not keep your skin from exposure of flames. Jeans and slacks are better choices. Women should avoid wearing skirts, stockings, and heels. When those heels come off during an evacuation, you will be barefoot on a hot tarmac. Okay, Tina? All right. Do not wear sandals or flip-flops. They do not protect your feet from flames or chemical waste and can come apart and cause you to fall while you're running. Loafers and sneakers are your new travel friends. I like that statement. You can dress down or up in flip-flops or heels once you land and are safe. Prepare a run kit. A run kit should only hold items that are time-consuming and hard to replace, such as your wallet, credit cards, medications, prescriptions, emergency contact numbers, and a mobile phone. The ideal kit is a fanny pack.
DT.
Or a facsimile of one, so you can have your Michael Kors, you know, a fanny pack or book bag of one that you may make a habit of keeping it on you at all times next to your body during your travels. Since this kit holds all of your vital items, you can leave everything else behind in case of an emergency. Okay, let that Gucci bag go.
Dang.
Yeah. So when you are told to evacuate a plane, you only have 90 seconds to get down that emergency slide before you are trampled or possibly set on fire. Thank you, lockdown executives, for these safety tips.
Now, that was really... Oh, wait. I lost my... Hold on.
No, it's okay.
All right,
but I did want to say, I like how, you know, when lockdown, he explains that he's raw, you know? And he is... It can be graphic, but it makes the point, you know. So when he said, when he stated as far as make sure, you know, try not to wear shorts or don't wear shorts, I'm thinking about if, when you do have to evacuate the plane and you're sliding down whatever material that is, that's probably gonna burn or you know, kind of create a harsh rash.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. But not only that, with the comfortable clothing, it's like, you know how the security is now going through, you know.
Oh, don't even get
it's
me
like,
started.
You want to wear as less as possible. I mean, like, throw your leggings and a t-shirt and just some.
They still go off. They still
go
off.
I know, but still, it's like, at least you don't have to take all them clothes off. And, I mean, it's like, that's a headache in itself. But one of the really good things that I like that you mentioned, Lo, is the run kit. I've never heard of
OJ bag.
I've never heard of that, though. Which is pretty... No, I have... Listen, I'm going to be factual now. I don't know. DT?
Yeah. I'm still trying to share my post to my personal page.
He's in his Facebook zone.
Yeah.
But no, but a run kit, I've just never heard of it in that way. So I thought that was pretty good. You know, so, but again, you know, when you're wearing comfortable clothes on a airport, I mean, on a plane, take a blanket, because their blankets are so thin. So it's like, you'd be freezing in there. That's just me. I'm just saying. So we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back, and then we're going to have Crystal Ray come in, because this is a fabulous school here in Tampa, Hillsborough County. You're going to be excited. Get your pens, get your paper, because you're going to want to write some stuff down, because this school is no joke. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Rick Scott wants to keep our flowers under lock and key, as a recent Florida bill, which passed 70-45 in the House and 24-15 in the Senate, requires women to have a doctor determine whether a fetus can survive outside the womb before having an abortion.
Those that don't have best friends, those typically are more so introverted people, as the ones that says, well, I have 7 best friends. There's nothing wrong with that. Each friend may come from a different part of your life.
As an adult, I think the basis of your relationship is different as you get older. Sometimes work and your life and your kids and everything, it's hard to have the same type of relationship with somebody that you had when you were in high school.
Once you start getting older, you start to cherish your space. I know I do.
Amen.
Everybody can't come into this part of my life, so I can't just throw out and call everyone my best friend.
A best friend is somebody who can single-handedly ruin your life. That's how much they know about you.
That's good. I like that.
WMNF Tampa.
88.5 Tampa.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Now is the perfect time to go heat up your coffee, bring it back to your chair on your patio, and stay tuned to the Urban Cafe.
Welcome back
Welcome back.
Yeah, just give it to them. Thank you guys for tuning back into WMNF, the Urban Cafe. And we're having a great show so far. We're enjoying things. We got some things going on. And we are going to go to our calls real quick because we have three callers on the line. So we're going to go to our callers. And let's go with the first caller.
So we don't have a screener, so you need to tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Yes, what Sam said. Okay, good morning.
Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning.
And your name and where are you calling from? Hello.
This is Everlasting.
Hi, Everlasting.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. What's your question, dear?
Well, I enjoyed the topic you've begun again on hip-hop, and I'm a big Lecrae fan and Andy Mineo, too. And I wanted to say it's kind of unfortunate whenever we talk about artists in hip-hop that we always tend to talk about the men and we forget the women, even though, you know, women are 50% of the population.
Good point.
All right, so we got to make sure DT includes
Yes, you have to elaborate that there are many women in hip-hop as well. That's a good point.
Oh, well, I didn't quite make a point. I think I was just asking a question. Did I leave out women in my equation?
When we were mentioning the rappers and all those.
Oh, well, I was trying to get to, does N.W.A. fit in the hip-hop category? Right. That was my main question. So because of the kind of music they make, right. I don't know if there are female artists who make music equivalent to what N.W.A. was famous for.
Like, but
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, but thank you, Everlasting. That was good. So next caller. Good morning.
Hello. Hi.
Good morning. Welcome to the Urban Cafe. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello.
Caller, you're on the air.
Okay, let's go to the next one.
Thanks, Nia.
Good morning. Your name and where you calling from? Okay, you guys don't want to talk to us? 813-239-9663. If you need to call back again, 813-239-9663. And it may be easier. Give us a text. You know, we can read the text messages or the questions. 813-433-0885. We have one more caller. Let's go to that caller.
Good morning.
Hi. Can you hear us? Your phone is breaking up a little bit. Your name and where are you calling from?
I think I got cut off accidentally. This is Everlasting.
Can you hear us? Go ahead, Everlasting.
I can hear you, yes. I was just saying, I think that in 2017, Queen Latifah's talent is still unmatched. She is still sounding just as good as she did back in the early 90s.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we're going to have a future show in that.
Right,
so definitely make sure you call in and chime in that conversation.
Too.
Yes, definitely. So definitely give us a call on that. So the next caller. Good morning. Hi, your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Eileen from Hudson, Florida.
Hi, Eileen. Thank you so much for calling in. Your question,
okay,
ma'am?
I wanted to point out two things. I was late tuning in today, and I came in where you were talking about the national parks. I think that with all the fake news accusations going around, when you talk about something, you should have the facts straight. It's called Bears Ears and Great Staircase Escalante, both of which are in Utah. Also, the trip to Miami is only 72 miles from West Palm, so there's no way it can take 5 hours to get there. Our roads are bad, but they're not that bad. It only should take about an hour and 15 minutes without traffic, and with traffic, 2 hours. So that's what I wanted to say. Otherwise, I love the show.
Thank you so much, Eileen.
And we forgive you for being late.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Sam, go ahead.
Let me Is that Lingo?
Go ahead, Sam.
So, thank you for correcting me on that. My eyes are going, I'm getting older, and I couldn't quite read it, but I knew they were both in Utah, and I appreciate you telling us exactly what the names of the parks were. And the information I got about the travel time, I didn't make up. I got it from Futurism, which is an online publication, and they were citing another publication. So, I'm just assuming that they're telling the worst case scenario. If you're stuck in bumper to bumper traffic, it could take you upwards of almost five hours to get from point A to point B. Naturally, it shouldn't take that long. But I think the more important point is that it's going to get cars off the road, and it is going to reduce the carbon emission and all of that, and it's going to cut your time down. But I don't live on the West Coast, so I'm not really sure exactly what the time. But thanks for correcting us on that. We can't. This is a community radio show, right? So we don't.
Last I checked.
Right? Yeah. But we don't have all the answers. We try our best.
That's
we try.
That's
why we appreciate people like Miss Eileen.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, yeah, you're right. It's when we don't have it right or we don't know. We do ask people to call in and give.
We embrace correction.
That interaction.
We embrace
it. We love that interaction. Definitely.
So thank you so much, Irene. We really appreciate that. So we're gonna we're going to get our students here. We have Crystal Ray students here, and these students, we have to definitely make sure we get a picture of them because they're always sharp, clean, early in the morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, and smiling. look at her hair. She got the perfect curls going on. I'm like, you know what? But they're sharp today. So we have Crystal Ray, which is Tampa High School, private high school here, and they're going to elaborate in more detail in regards to that. But I want each of the students to introduce yourself. The young lady is going to go first, and then you two gentlemen, okay? Go ahead, sweetie.
All right. Hi, I'm Sarai Randolph. I'm a sophomore at Crystal Ray.
Good morning. And she struck a pose.
Yes,
did she just strike a pose?
Good morning. My name is Stephen Faison, and I am also a sophomore at Crystal Ray.
Good morning. My name is Alberto Rios, and I'm the admissions director at Crystal Ray Tampa High School.
And a sophomore.
There you go. So, sweetie, come back up to the mic for me, please. So, give us your experience with Crystal Ray, and what is your reason why?
So, my experience has been pretty good. What I mostly like about the school is the corporate work study program that they have. I go to the school because I want to be successful. I think my parents had sent me here because of the opportunities that they give.
Okay, that's great. That is really good. Come on, young man, let's go.
My experience with Crystal Ray has been awesome. I really like the part that the teachers actually help you and set you up for success and not failure.
Oh, You're good. So we're going to have
the admissions director.
There you go. We're going to have you just give everyone just a foundation and a platform of what Crystal Ray is and the details in regards to that.
Okay. So we're part of a network of schools. There are 32 Crystal Ray schools all over the U.S. We're the first one in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And we opened our doors in August of 2016. And it's a faith Catholic private high school that only serves students that dream of going to college but come from families that cannot afford a private college prep education. And we make it extremely affordable because of what Sarai just mentioned, the corporate work study program, and where they actually go to work one day a week, 5 days during the month, and that company pays for a little bit over half of their tuition. And then the rest is covered by a income-based scholarship called Step Up for Students. And we also raise money. So we spread out, we spread the wealth through all the through all the applicants that get accepted. So the families pay, the family contribution is very, very small. It's only $650 for the whole year. And that gives them the education, the college prep education, their meals, their electronic device that they take home and do their homeworks and so on. We do have families that, because of the internet, they have issues. So we also have the hardcover books. And it also covers their transportation to and from work. So that's what that covers.
Okay, so you guys have transportation. You have on-work job training, basically.
Yes.
And is this a 8-hour work week or day? What does that consist of as far as the hours and all that?
So I don't think we'd be there for a whole 8 hours. We get there around 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then leave around 3:45, 4 o'clock.
I need that job. Can I get that one? That's pretty good. So is yours the same way?
Yes.
Okay, okay, excellent. So, okay, Sam, you have a question?
Yeah, I want to ask the students real quickly. When your experience, so compare your experience to some of your friends that go to different high schools. How is the culture different? Maybe the extracurricular? How do you deal with people, you know, not necessarily bullying, but sort of making fun of you? Ha ha, you're going to prep, you got to wear a uniform, blah. What's it feel like? What do you tell them? Is it really that different?
Of course it is different because we, first we go to work. We have experience with professional people, so I think that our environment at the school is pretty much professional. Around other schools, you know, people want to go to parties and all that stuff. Not that we don't, but we're more professional in that sense, you know?
Yeah, and that's, go ahead, you can answer that as well. I think that's a great question, though, Sam.
I was going to say, when people say, oh, you have to wear uniform, I always say, well, you're going to have to wear a uniform. You're going to have some type of uniform when you work. There's going to be some type of dress code policy. Right. And then when they say, oh, you don't have a football team or you don't have a basketball team, I always come at them with like, well, they're setting us for success and not failure.
Is he like the spokesperson or something? Because I mean,
I like his response.
He needs to be hired.
Him.
I mean,
I bet he can play the dozens too.
I mean, I'm like dumbfounded. I don't even know what to ask now. That's really good. But just think about go ahead, DC, you have a question.
I have a question. I'm interested in wondering if social media has any effect on how you guys communicate with your peer group. Seeing that you're at a school